In John's first epistle, chapter 5, verse 20, he said this, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ." Now this is the true God, and this is eternal life. I'm speaking to you today on the subject, the truth of the gospel. I want you to hear me. Will you listen very carefully as I try to present some things that I believe need to be said in this day. Now the Lord God, here's the first thing. The Lord God can send us no greater blessing. He can send you no greater blessing, or your community, or your city, than to send you a true preacher of the gospel of His grace and His glory. There's no greater blessing that God can confer upon a people. To be able to hear the Word of God declared, preached from the pulpit by a man who knows God, and you can't tell what you don't know. But to hear a man preach, to be able to hear a man preach who knows God, who is true to the Word of God, who in every message exalts the Lord Jesus Christ and preaches for the glory of God and the spiritual good of His hearers, that's indeed one of God's greatest blessings. And you know why? Well, I'll give you several reasons. First of all, men are saved through the preaching of the Word of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And Paul said again, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Men are saved through the preaching of the Word of God. He says over in the book of James, "Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth." And Peter said, "We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God." So the greatest blessing that God can give to you or to me is to send us a man preaching the gospel, because it's by the preaching of the gospel that people are saved. And then secondly, true faith. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And this faith comes through hearing the Word of God. That's what Paul said in Romans 10:17. "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." What a blessing to be able to hear it, to hear the Word of God. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" So you see what a blessing it is, what a treasure it is to be able to go and hear somebody preach the Word of God, the true Word of God. For men are saved by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes through hearing the Word of God. And spiritual growth, spiritual maturity comes by hearing the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, the apostle said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." Desire the milk of the Word that you may grow. That you may grow in faith and love and meekness and gentleness and kindness and understanding and humility and all of these things that are necessary for the believer. And then in Ephesians 4:11, talks about when our Lord ascended to glory, that He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now you recognize these as being ministers of the Word of God. Apostles. Our Lord said to the apostles, "Go preach the gospel. Go to the whole world and preach the gospel." The prophets, talking about Christ, said, "Unto him give all the prophets witness." The evangelists, are evangelizers, ministers of the gospel, pastors and teachers. Pastors feed the flock. What do they feed the flock? The children's bread is the Word of God. So he left some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So if you're going to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, it will be through hearing the Word of God preached and taught. And then comfort. Comfort comes through the preaching of the Word, hearing the Word of God. Some people down in Thessalonica were concerned about their loved ones who were dead and had been buried. And Paul said to them, he said, I wouldn't have you ignorant concerning them which sleep, that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those that sleep will come with him when he comes. Now he said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with God's promises, precious promises. The words of men are small comfort, but the Word of God is a great comfort in the most severe trial. So you comfort one another with the Word of God. If you want comfort, it'll have to be through the Word. And then in Isaiah 40, he said, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her sins are pardoned, her iniquity is forgiven. She hath received of the Lord double from the hand of God for all her sins. So that's where our comfort comes from, is the Word of God. And then this thing of assurance. A lot of people are troubled about assurance, they're troubled about doubts and fears. Well, assurance comes through the Word of God. He says in 1 John 5:13, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's why the Word is written to you, that you might believe on Christ and that you might have confidence in Christ, assurance. So men are saved by the preaching of the gospel. That's why the preacher of the gospel is such a great gift, such a blessed gift from God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Comfort and spiritual growth and assurance. So if you have a faithful pastor and a faithful minister of the gospel, give thanks to God. Praise God for that man who feeds the sheep. But if you do not have a faithful minister of the Word of God, then it would be profitable for you to do all that you can to get under the ministry of one. Because if you hear from God, now listen to me, if you hear from God, you'll hear through His Word and it'll come to you through the lips of a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God has given His preachers and teachers and witnesses and missionaries and evangelists to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Now then, if the greatest gift of God and blessing is to have a faithful, true, Christ-honoring, Bible-believing, God-glorifying minister of the Word, then wouldn't you say that the greatest judgment that God could cause to fall upon a people is to be left in the care of a blind, covetous, compromising preacher? What a sad, sad position to be led by those who are blind. For our Lord said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. And you know, no prophet cried out against false preachers quite like Jeremiah. And when you read Jeremiah's words about false preachers and false prophets and teachers, you'll think that it was written yesterday. I want you to take your Bible there and open it to the book of Jeremiah and listen to Jeremiah describe and condemn false preachers. In Jeremiah chapter 6, find it there, Jeremiah 6:13, he says that these false preachers are covetous and greedy. Covetous and greedy. Listen to him. From the least of them to the greatest of them, every one of them is given to covetousness and greed. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. And they deal falsely because they're covetous men. When the Apostle Paul left the elders at Ephesus, he made this very definite. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. I haven't sought it or begged for it or tried to get it in any way. He preached for the glory of God, and God met his needs. But preachers, false preachers, are covetous, greedy men. And then he says in verse 14, Jeremiah 6, he says, these false preachers, now listen to me, they give false assurance to religious people. He said in verse 14, they cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. They preach everyone into heaven. They inform people that they're saved. You're saved. You do this, you do that, you do that, you're saved. Shake my hand, you're saved. Quote the sinner's prayer, you're saved. They inform people that they're saved. You can't tell a man he's saved. Only God can save a sinner, and only God can give assurance of salvation or confidence in Christ. But these men, these false prophets Jeremiah's talking about, he said they're covetous, greedy men. And they give people false assurance. They say, peace, peace, peace. It's all right. You're going to heaven. When there is no peace. It's a fake peace. It's a fictitious peace. It's a peace of fantasy. It's not the peace of God. It's not the peace of God. And then he says in the third place in Jeremiah 14, 13, he says, these preachers deny the wrath of God. They deny the wrath of God. It's all love and no wrath. It's all love and no judgment. It's all love and no condemnation. Is that not what we're hearing today? Jeremiah said in chapter 14, verse 13, oh, Lord God, he said, behold, the prophets say to the people, you shall not see the sword. You shall not have famine. God is love. There's nothing to fear. God's too good to send a man to hell. You have nothing to fear. There'll be no famine. There'll be no judgment. There'll be no wrath. There'll be no sword. Oh, Lord God, he said, they deceived the people. And then he said, these false preachers, listen, they were not sent of God. In Jeremiah 14, 13, he said, the Lord God said to me, when he said in verse 13, oh, Lord God, these men deny your wrath and deny judgment and deny justice. And God answered and said to me, verse 14, these prophets prophesy lies in my name. I did not send them. Neither have I commanded them. Neither have I even spoken to them. You always hear men say, God said this to me. God said, I didn't even speak to them. And that brings me to the fifth thing. These false preachers preach their dreams and visions. They do not preach the Word of God. They preach their dreams and visions. The very same thing that Jeremiah is condemning in his day. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just a circle. Jeremiah says they're covetous. He says they give false assurance and false peace to their false converts. He said they deny the wrath of God. He says they were not sent of God. And then he says they preached their dreams and visions. Does that sound familiar? Listen, Jeremiah 23, 25. I've heard what the false prophets say that prophesy lies in my name. They say, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. That's God speaking there. They speak a vision of their own imagination. Let them tell their dreams. But he that hath my word, let him preach my word faithfully. Behold, listen, I am against them that preach false dreams. Jeremiah 23, 25 through 30. I am against them that preach false dreams and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness and their frivolity. and their over-familiarity with a holy God. My friends, if that's not a picture, will you listen to me? Somebody'd better. The whole religious world is moving toward a precipice of God Almighty's eternal wrath. And it's a vanity and a lightness and a so-called dreams and visions and religious fiction. And God says they're prophesying lies. They're telling their dreams and visions. And I didn't send them and I didn't speak to them. And I haven't given them a message. They don't preach my word. And here's the sad note in Jeremiah 5:31. These false prophets preach error, and he said, and the people love it. Jeremiah 5:31, the false prophets prophesy falsely, and the people love to have it so. They flock after them, crowd their auditoriums, clap, cheer, entertainment. Our Lord said, I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Let another come in his own name, and him you will receive. The Master came to this earth, and this world spit in his face and nailed him to a cross. And why did they do that? It wasn't because of what he did. They had no objections to him feeding the poor, no objections to clothing the naked, healing the sick, or raising the dead. They said, we're not stoning you because of a good work. They hated him for what he said. There was a division because of what he said. And if a preacher can just preach without saying anything, he can avoid any divisions, just so he doesn't tell the truth about God. And that's what I'm going to get on right now. Well, what shall we do? What shall we do? This is a perfect picture of our day. Covetous prophets, greedy prophets, prophets and preachers giving false assurance to religious people, preachers denying the wrath of God. God loves you, they say, and I love you, and everybody loves you, and we're just in a sea of love, and there'll be no sword, there'll be no famine, there'll be no judgment, there'll be no condemnation. And they're not sent of God. And they preach their dreams and visions, and God said the people like it. But I've got a message for those that have ears to hear it. God said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. My friend, hear with discernment. Hear with attention. Hear with interest. Hear for eternity. The Lord has spoken. He speaks today. He's never left himself without a witness. But let me give you four or five things. Number one, the faith of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. The Son of God had come and given us an understanding. I want an understanding. I don't particularly want a following or a bank account or riches of the world. I want an understanding. And that faith of the gospel arises from a right knowledge of God. Who is God? God's not who you think he is. God's who he says he is. Everybody can't make up his own God. That's imagination, images. Images come from imagination. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. God's who he says he is. In John 17:3, our Lord said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Men by nature do not know God. God said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. God must be revealed. You don't know God by nature. He must be revealed. No man knows God. He's incomprehensible. It's higher than the heavens. What can you know? It's deeper than hell. What can you tell? The riches of God's greatness are deeper than the sea. God must be revealed in his majesty, in his sovereignty, in his holiness, in his justice, in his mercy, in his love. How shall they call on him of whom they have never heard? It's worse to have a false God than no God at all. Because when you have a false God and in a false refuge, it's more difficult to dig you out. Got to destroy your refuge and kill your God before a man can preach the true God. And then secondly, the truth of the gospel arises from an understanding of the fall of Adam and its consequences. God made man upright, the scripture says. He sought out many inventions. God made man in his own image, but man fell. According to the scriptures, man fell, and when he did, he died. That's the word used all the way through, dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. By one man, sin entered the world and death. What kind of death? Well, physical death follows, but Adam lived 800 years after he died. He died spiritually. So death passed upon all men. In Adam, all died. By the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. Our Lord said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Go learn what that means. Do you know what sinners means? Sinners? You know what a sinner is? A sin is a nature. It's a principle. It's an inward problem. We keep talking about the fruit of sin, and we're missing the root of sin. And that's where we're dead. Loving darkness rather than light. And then thirdly, the truth of the gospel arises from an understanding. And the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding of the person and work of Christ. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding. Now, my friends, do you understand anything at all about the person and work of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ the Lord? God hath appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world by that man, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. He'll judge the world in righteousness by that man. Do you know that man? Do you know anything about him? His person, his work, his attributes, his glory, what he did, why he did it, who he is, where he is now. But if God's going to judge the world by that man, I need to get acquainted with that man. Well, the law of God's unchanging. It must be obeyed perfectly. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. The justice of God, we're talking about God now, the law of God and the justice of God, which demands the death of all sinners, is unchanging. God's justice, like his law, is unchanging, and that justice must be satisfied. He said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. God will by no means clear the guilty. Therefore, if God is to have a holy people to populate a holy heaven, a new heaven and new earth, then he's going to have to save and redeem them in a way that's consistent with his holiness and his character and his attributes. God can't be God and then change to something else in order to save. He said, I'm a just God and a Savior. He's got to be just and justified. Now, this is what Christ came to do. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. How did he do it? Well, by his holy life, in the flesh. He was born of woman, made of a woman, made under the law, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And by that perfect holy law, as our representative, as our federal head, as our redeemer, he imputed to us a perfect righteousness because he kept it in every jot and tittle. He represented us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And by his atoning death, he put away all our transgressions. By himself, he purged our sins. See, Christ was a representative person like Adam was. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. By man came sin, by man came forgiveness and mercy. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By the obedience of Christ, we were made righteous. All who are in Adam died in Adam. All who are in Christ are made alive in Christ. He did for us what we couldn't do, all that God demanded of us. He's our representative, our Redeemer. And by faith in Him, these blessings become ours. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Now, the truth of the gospel produces a well-grounded hope of our interest in God's mercy in Christ. Here's what I mean. We're accepted in the Beloved. Not by what we've done, but by what He did. We're accepted in the Beloved. He came down here. He was born of a woman, lived on this earth under the civil law, the law of the home, the moral law, the Levitical law, every law of God, and kept it perfectly. And all who are in Him and believe on Him and trust in Him, His righteousness is theirs. And He went to the cross and literally bore our sins in His body on the tree. And He was buried as our scapegoat, arose as our justifier, ascended to heaven as our mediator, and we're accepted in Him. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, by being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Paul summed it up this way, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I know Him, who He is and what He did and why He did it and where He is now. And I'm persuaded that He's able. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. He's able to do all that He promised. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless, unblameable, unreprovable in His glorious presence. And He's able to raise these vile bodies from a corrupt tomb, from a grave, and make them just like His glorious body. He's able. What a blessing to hear the gospel and to believe it. Now, if you want this message on a cassette tape, I have two messages on one tape. This message and one I'll bring next Lord's Day on His mercy to His Son. Send $2 and we'll mail you the tape. The address will be given to you now. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.